You're listening to Archer Radio.
This is Archer of ArcherRadio.com, the only ordinary queer cast on the internet. Today is, for you, it's Wednesday, but for me, it's Tuesday, November 1st, 2005. And man, I have got such a fucking headache right now. My head is killing me. I've kind of had a little bit of a stressful day today. As you can see from the title of this show called Stress Test, I had my cardiac stress test today, and it went really well, but let me tell you some details about it. I'm a member of Kaiser Permanente, so I had to drive to a different part of Virginia. Oh, you know what? Let me stop this for a minute and get some music going, because certainly we can listen to some music while this is going. Okay, this is Marc Anthony. I like this music. It's calming. Hopefully it's not too loud. I'll just turn it down a smidge. Okay, so I was talking about my stress test. I took the day off today because I had scheduled a stress test for my cardiac problems. At least what I thought were cardiac problems, but I think that's still a little too loud. That might be okay now. I hope that's all right. Anyway, as I was saying, I had the day off, so I got to sleep a little bit later, but I still woke up at crack of dawn. And I ran errands and stuff and did a whole bunch of things, and because my appointment wasn't until 2 o'clock this afternoon. And I went to Kaiser, and they checked me and all, and then I had to sit there and wait. And I don't know why doctor's offices even have appointments when they make you wait no matter what, but I did end up waiting like 30 minutes until I had got, called back to the back room. But in the waiting room, I felt like I was totally out of place because, obviously there was a lot of other people having their stress test done, and they were all, like, easily 20 to 30 to 40 years older than me, and, some with a cane, and some guy who was falling asleep in his chair, and this other guy who was all hunched over, and this one lady who was, like, she had to be in her 80s. So I was like, oh my God, I'm only 41 and I'm sitting here for a stress test and all these old people are here. I kind of felt out of place, but anyway. So they call me back and the lady tells me everything. She's like, okay, you're going to get on this treadmill and we're going to hook you up to this EKG machine, and it's going to keep track of your heart while you're doing the test. So she connects all these sticky plastic things all over my chest, and at first she's like, oh, we might have to shave where this is going, but she's like, oh no, maybe not. So she didn't have to shave my chest. She hooked me all up, and she's telling me about how it all works and what they're looking for and all that, and then she takes my blood pressure, and sure enough, my blood pressure was a little bit high, but it wasn't as high as it was when I had the chest pains and I went to Kaiser last time. So and then she starts asking me, the history of these chest pains, and I was telling her about that I've had them for, like, I guess it's about 3 weeks now or so, and that they're very random, and I can't determine a pattern to them or anything. So, and then she says, okay, well, the doctor will be in a minute to start the test, and you have to sign this waiver saying that, this test is to, see the ability of your heart under stress, and you have to read this whole thing, and it basically says we're not liable if you have a heart attack while you're doing the test, and it says there's a rare chance that you could have a heart attack during this test. So when the doctor came in, the first thing she had me do was sign this form, and then she explains more about it, and then she puts in a whole bunch of information in the computer, like family history, and then asked me all these detailed questions about my pains. Where are they? When did they start? How long do they last? Am I doing anything that, like exertion when they happen or anything? So answer all these questions. And then she's like, okay, well, let's get on the treadmill. And she said the test can last anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes, depending on the strength of your heart or how fatigued you get, because about every 3 minutes... 18 minutes. 3 to 18 minutes, I think that's what she said. Anyway, she said every 3 minutes, it gets a little faster and it inclines a little bit higher. So she said, you just have to let me know. Either I will see something on the screen that tells me that your heart is in distress, or that you need to tell me that you're fatigued, you're tired, or whatever, you just want to stop, just say stop and I'll stop it. And she said, every 2 minutes I'll take your blood pressure, and we're trying to get your heart rate up to 160 beats per minute. And I thought, oh my God, that would cause a heart attack itself. But my resting heart rate was like, well, I shouldn't say it resting, because I was nervous as hell, so it was like 90 to begin with. So, but she didn't seem to think that was high at all. And my blood pressure was 133 over 88 or something like that. So it was a little bit high, but nothing to be concerned about. So she starts the test, and I start walking, and she goes, because of OSHA, you know, the occupational health, safety, health, whatever, you have to hold on to the bar. Well, when I walk on the treadmill, I like to move my arms, so I had to get used to holding onto the bar. And sure enough, I'm watching the screen, and my heart, you know, if you've seen the little EKG or little heart monitors on these TV shows, you see what the heart rate looks like. Well, mine looked like that and it looked normal. And she said, you're starting out just fine, no problem. So, like, after 3 minutes, it goes a little faster and it raises up a little bit higher, and I'm fine. And then 6 minutes, it raises up another, you know, it elevates some more, and I go a little faster. And I get all the way up to, like, between 9 and 12 minutes. I can't remember the exact time. She said, now, how are you feeling? I said, I'm feeling great. I can keep going. I said, I walk 3 to 5 miles a day. This is really isn't too much. It's just the incline is what's starting to hurt my calves. Because, I mean, I was like, when I do the treadmill down in the exercise room, I have the incline. I only go up to like 4. Well, this was up to like 10. And I was like climbing a hill. It was very stressful, and I was starting to sweat. But I said, so how's it look? Am I doing okay? And she goes, right now you're looking fine. It's very strong. I'm not seeing anything that would indicate stress on your heart. So I said, well, I can keep going. She goes, well, good. Let's go one more level. She goes, we usually, much older people don't last this long. And I said, well, I think I'm used to it because of walking. And she said, that's probably true. So we kept going, and there's certain levels. There's like, I think she said there's 7 levels. And so the most, the fittest people can get up to 7, level 7. Well, anyway, I got up to like 12 and a half minutes, and my calves were just killing me. It was like climbing a hill. But my heart was fine, and I was, you know, I wasn't even breathing that heavy. But my legs were killing me, and I said, oh, I can probably go about another minute or so. So we got up to 13 minutes, and then she went ahead and stopped it. And she goes, there's not a thing on this EKG that would indicate any kind of stress to your heart whatsoever. So she's like, then she's like, you know, giving me the other statistics. And actually, my heart, my blood pressure got up to like 156 over 93 or something like that. Actually, I have the stats right here. I guess I could look on this form and see what it says. Where is that thing? Here it is. It says that my, where is it? My heart rate got up to 192 over 92. 192 over 92. No, that's my blood pressure. Wait a minute, I'm reading this wrong. Oh, I don't know. But in any case, okay, so after I get off the treadmill, she presses stop. She goes, now you have to lay down. I have to take your blood pressure to see how quickly it returns to normal. So I lay there, and for like every minute for like the next 3 minutes, she took my blood pressure. And my blood pressure actually got down in, she said, in a pretty quick pace, down to 119 over 70. Which is perfect, she said, because it's like, it's amazing how fast your heart, your blood pressure returns to normal. And I thought that was really good, because when I came in there, it was kind of high. And I think that, of course, I think it's obvious that it was high because of the being worried about the whole stress test thing. So then anyway, I know I'm just rattling on about this, I'm sorry, but I'm just telling the story. She starts to ask me questions about, you know, what I'm doing, and you know, she's trying to figure out why I'm having the chest pains, because it's obvious that this is not related to a heart condition or anything. And she was explaining to me about the arteries and how if they were clogged, it would show the heart being stressed, trying to get oxygen, from the blood and so forth. And then she drew this little picture and she showed, as your heart beats faster, the space between the beats is what pushes the oxygen in there faster. So if you had a clogged artery or even a blocked artery or whatever, it would show up as on the EKG as a stressed area. Well, I didn't have any of those, none at all. So she doesn't think I have any clogged arteries whatsoever. So that's when she starts asking me about, what medications do you take? And I said, well, I take an aspirin a day and a multivitamin. And she said, well, how long have you been taking this aspirin? And I said, about a year and a half now I've been taking one 325 milligram Bayer aspirin. And she said, well, now, in many cases where people have chest pains, it could be caused by the aspirin upsetting your stomach and therefore causing you basically indigestion. But there's actually a term for it, and she called it, I'm sure you've heard this before, gastroesophageal reflux disease, or GERD, which basically means she thinks I might have acid reflux. So, and she thinks that the taking this aspirin, and I thought I was taking a coated aspirin, which, they say is better because it doesn't cause these problems in your stomach. But so she's saying that for 3 weeks, she gave me a prescription for, basically it's generic Pepcid, and it's called Famotidine, I don't know, but it says generic Pepcid. And I'm supposed to take it two times a day and see if over the next 3 weeks if the pains go away, or if I feel better from it. And that I need to follow up with my doctor, so I'm going to be doing that in about 3 weeks. But her whole point was that, yes, you've been taking this aspirin as a preventative for heart disease, but in the long run, the aspirin is causing, possibly, she said this is all speculation, possibly causing this GERD disease, this gastroesophageal, I guess it is, disease, where it basically backs up and causes these pains in your chest. And I said, well, I've had heartburn before, and this does not feel like heartburn. She goes, yes, but this esophageal whatever causes different pains in the esophagus. And I'm thinking, okay, well, that might explain some of the pain in the general areas. If you think about the way your esophagus goes down to your stomach, goes down to the left side and so forth. So anyway, that's her prediction right now. That's her ideas now, because from the stress test, there's absolutely no indication whatsoever that my heart is involved with these chest pains and the arteries. So I can rule out the heart and be very happy about that. But now I'm a little concerned about this esophageal whatever, because I hope I don't have like an ulcer or something in my stomach that's been caused by taking this aspirin for a year and a half. So she also thinks that the dosage of the aspirin might be too high, because I was just taking one Bayer aspirin, which is 325 milligrams. So she said I should take the 81 milligram coated aspirin. So she gave me she said you can buy it down the pharmacy, the generic one, because I didn't know which one I'm supposed to get. So anyway, so basically I was sweating like a pig and did the thing, and what did she according to the thing, it says this is test conclusion, no chest pain, no arrhythmia, normal heart rate and blood pressure, no ischemic ECG changes, and then number five, which I thought was really good, was above average exercise capacity, which she said, basically said, your lungs are really good for exercise. I'm thinking, oh God, I'm a smoker. So that's kind of strange. But she, of course, her recommendations were to stop smoking immediately, exercise more, and eat a low-fat diet. Where have I heard that before? The last time I was at the doctor? Of course. And then she also said, which I found interesting, she asked about my alcohol consumption. And I told her, well, in the last 6 to 8 months, I've started a hobby of wine tasting, and I'm, you know, drinking a couple glasses of wine each week. And she said, well, you need to really cut that down because the sugars that are in wine cause your triglycerides to rise. And I said, well, what about all the studies that say that red wine is supposed to help? And she said, well, those are basically inconclusive. But what we do know is that the sugars, the natural sugars that are in wine, cause your triglycerides to rise and can therefore cause the clogging of your arteries. So she said, try to cut back on your wine consumption. I'm like, oh, damn, I'm really enjoying that hobby. So I have to tell the boyfriend about that. He'll be disappointed. Oh, I can still enjoy it, just not as much. So anyway, the test results came out very well. My heart is very healthy. It's very strong. My lungs are very have a large capacity for exercise, is what she was saying. And this might be just due to basically acid reflux. So this kind of goes back to what I was saying before about why men don't go to the doctors. Because basically we're told that there's, you know, basically nothing wrong with you. You know, I feel chest pains, I go to the doctor, they do the EKG, I spend all this, actually I'm not spending the money, but, you know, healthcare costs, someone's paying it. And basically I have acid reflux and I was given a prescription for Pepcid. If that's the case, I mean, if that's actually, you know, turns out to be the case, then I'll probably just be on Pepcid AC, or not Pepcid AC, just this generic Pepcid for, I don't know if that's for the rest of your life or not, but she thinks that in the 3 weeks that I'll be taking this, that I will see a dramatic change in these chest pains and in the amount of indigestion I have. So anyway, that's the story of the stress test and what was going on with that. Now, I did want to play, switching gears here, I did want to play two clips from that I had saved into iTunes. And the first one is a clip from Saturday Night Live, from Saturday Night, during the, what do they call that segment, the SNL update or weekend update or something like that. And they were talking about, well, I'll just play the clip. Let me stop the music and play this clip. This is Tina Fey, and I guess it's just Tina Fey. Oh, where is it? Let me see. Oh, did I just burp? Sorry. Here we go. Listen to this.
A new poll shows that 66% of Americans think President Bush is doing a poor job of handling the war in Iraq. And the remaining 34% think Adam and Eve rode dinosaurs to church.
So true. That's those Christian right Republicans who think that. I heard that and I was like, oh God, I have to save that and play that because it's so true. And actually, I think his they had a rating or a you know, approval rating came out on Monday, I think, from ABC. Is it ABC News in Washington? New York Times? Anyway, his approval rating is down to like 42%. So, and of course, yesterday, because today's Tuesday, it's Tuesday evening for me. So yesterday on Monday, Bush nominated Samuel Alito to the Supreme Court to replace Senator O'Connor. And that was his way of diverting attention away from the whole Scooter Libby Dick Cheney thing. So of course the entire day everything was around this guy Samuel Alito and how conservative and I'm just sick about him. He's going to be terrible on the court. And actually I have a clip from the news that I recorded last night. It's about 5 minutes long, but it's a good, has some good background information about Samuel Alito. So let's listen to this, and it's from ABC News. So, well, I don't even care if you've already heard it, but it's some good background information about Alito and some of the discussions and fights that are going to be coming up about him. So, listen to this.
Announcing his pick in the White House, Mr. Bush made a point of emphasizing one thing Judge Alito has that Harriet Myers did not: a judicial track record.
Judge Alito is one of the most accomplished and respected judges in America. and his long career in public service has given him an extraordinary breadth of experience.
Alito, who has more experience as a judge than any Supreme Court nominee in 70 years, described his role in simple terms.
Federal judges have the duty to interpret the Constitution and the laws faithfully and fairly, to protect the constitutional rights of all Americans, and to do these things with care and with restraint.
Samuel Anthony Alito Jr., 55 years old, is the son of an Italian immigrant. A New Jersey native, Alito attended Princeton University, where his yearbook predicted he intends to go to law school and eventually to warm a seat on the Supreme Court. Welcome. As he paid his first courtesy calls on senators today, the new nominee was reminded of that line.
Well, that was a college joke. I think my real ambition at the time was to be the commissioner of baseball.
A Yale Law School graduate, federal prosecutor, and Justice Department official in the Reagan administration, Alito was named to the U.S. Court of Appeals by President Bush's father in 1990 when he was just 39 years old. He quickly established a reputation on the bench as brilliant and deeply conservative. That conservatism already has Democrats predicting a fight.
The president chose to reward one faction of his party, one small faction of his party, and risk dividing the country.
Many of the opinions that he has written over the last 15 years cast real doubt on whether he can be a fair, mainstream, albeit conservative judge.
Among Alito's key rulings, his vote in an abortion case to uphold a law requiring women to inform their husbands before obtaining an abortion, and his vote to overturn a congressional ban on owning machine guns. Echoing the opinion of many lawyers who've appeared before him, a former law clerk describes Alito as above all methodical.
His opinions are meticulous analyses of Supreme Court case law that exercises a substantial amount of restraint. He has a tremendous amount of respect for precedent.
Republicans say it's that meticulousness, what they would describe as his faithfulness to the law, that will make Judge Alito very hard to beat. But tonight, Elizabeth, there's every sign that the Democrats are going to try.
All right, Terry. Well, as you can imagine, it got some attention today when the Associated Press reported that Judge Alito's mother told reporters, quote, of course he's against abortion. Even though she is his mother, we don't really know what that says about how Judge Alito might rule on an abortion case. But at least one of his rulings in the past on abortion was directly at odds with the Supreme Court Justice Alito hopes to replace. Here's ABC's Jake Tapper.
What do we want?
At the Supreme Court today, protest.
No, no, no! Alito will not say Roe!
And prayer over one issue.
Roe versus Wade is going to die the death of a thousand cuts.
Abortion rights advocates point to Alito's role in the landmark abortion case Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which dealt with Pennsylvania laws restricting abortions. Alito voted to require married women to notify their husbands before getting an abortion.
He was the lone dissenter. I think that speaks so highly of his bravery and his integrity. It's still following him.
Just to stop there for a second, excuse me, that woman who was just speaking is from the Concerned Women of America, a very conservative Christian group, I believe. Okay, let's get back to it.
As just a real mark of courage.
Recent polling indicates more than 7 in 10 Americans support Alito's position. But in 1992, the Supreme Court struck down Pennsylvania's spousal notification law as unconstitutional.
Good thing.
Sandra Day O'Connor, the Justice Alito may...
Oh, wait. This is a really good quote from Sandra Day O'Connor. Listen to this, because I love her. Well, even though she's conservative. Anyway, listen to this.
Replace, wrote the law, embodies a view repugnant to our present understanding of marriage. Women do not lose their constitutionally protected liberty when they marry.
That her replacement would be somebody who stands for the very opposite and could be the actual swing vote to undermine those rights is very painful.
But
that's
in some
scary.
Cases, Alito has voted for abortion rights previously defined by the Supreme Court. In 2000, he voted to strike down a ban on so-called partial birth abortion because it didn't take into account the health of the mother. And in 1995, he voted against limiting federal funding of abortion for victims of rape and incest.
We don't have any real good indication of what Judge Alito would have thought of Roe as an original matter or what Judge Alito would do with Roe if he were on the Supreme Court.
So senators will ask him, as they did John Roberts, whether Roe versus Wade is so ingrained in the law of the land it should not be overturned.
Would you think that Roe might be a super-duper precedent? The way Alito deals with that question may ultimately determine how much of a fight he'll be up against in the Senate. Jake Tapper, ABC News, Washington.
Okay, so basically the president is diverting attention away from the whole Scooter Libby Dick Cheney thing by doing his nomination. And let's get back to some music here just for a couple more minutes. So all day Monday, the news was all about this whole Supreme Court nomination with Samuel Alito, and nothing was said about Scooter Libby and Dick Cheney. So today I was sitting in the doctor's office waiting for my prescription, and across the news on CNN comes this report saying that the Senate has gone into secret session or closed session, and it turns out that the Democrats were deciding to push the issue of Scooter Libby and Dick Cheney to find out. They want the American people to know the reasons behind the whole war in Iraq and everything. So they were trying to force the Senate to debate the issue and find out more about the security and analysis, or whatever, of the Iraq war. So they did, after 2 hours, I think they were closed session for 2 hours about this. And I was so proud that Harry Reid, is it Harry or Henry Reid? I think it's Harry Reid, Democrats who called for this special session or this closed door session, because it's about time that we stop diverting attention away from the more important issues and, you know, focus on the whole reason why Bush's administration and Bush's presidency is such a sham. So anyway, they came to the decision that there would be a panel of three Democrats and three Republicans senators who will look into this issue and report back to them. I think it's in 2 weeks, November 14th. So we will see what comes of that. But I was very proud of the Democrats from finally standing up and doing something, and, you know, making some noise and getting in the news. So anyway, that's what's going on with that. And the whole thing with my stress test. So now I just want to mention a couple things. I hope that if you're listening to my show, I hope that Madge Weinstein of East Radio is also one of your regular podcasts that you listen to, because she did. I listen to her every day, and luckily, I actually like the new format of her shows in terms of the length, because her shows are down to now like 24 minutes, because that's what she needs to do for serious radio. But today she was talking about how much she hates Steve Jobs, because it actually hit the title of some Steve Jobs Hates Gay People, because she was complaining, Madge that is, that there haven't been any gay podcasts or queer casts who have shown up in the iTunes, you know, top 100. And I'm not sure if that's what she was trying to say, but basically she's saying that you're shutting us out of the, Anyway, if you're not listening to Madge Weinstein of East Radio, you should be, because she's very political. She's, you know, I love her politics. And, you know, not that I'm trying to plug her or anything, but I do enjoy her show. That's one of the ones I do enjoy. And she actually mentioned me today on her show. But she didn't mention me. She mentioned Archer Radio. Same thing, basically. And then I was going to say that there's another podcast that I just started listening to that I kind of like. And I think I heard about it. I did hear about it through Madge Weinstein on East Radio. It's the PNS Explosion. It used to be the Patrick and Noah Show, which would be, you know, PNS. Because I think they have a third guy now, and I can't think of his name. But I've been listening to them now for, I guess, the last five or six shows. And I kind of like it. They have a good format. They have characters. They have segments. And they're kind of funny. I kind of like them. I think they should do more shows, though, more often, because I think they only post like once or twice a week. So if you haven't checked out the PNS Explosion, I think you should do that, because that's another really good one. Okay, well, oh my goodness, I've been going for half an hour now. So I think I will stop for now and try to have a show. Let's see, this will be on Wednesday, so maybe on Thursday I'll have a show too. So, I guess it's... Oh, you know what? Today's November 1st. If you feel like voting for me on Podcast Alley, do so, because 7 of you already did, and I think that's amazing. I wasn't following this. I was totally ignoring Podcast Alley, but then somebody sent me an email saying, oh, I voted for you today, and I'm like, oh, okay. So, if you feel so inclined to vote on Podcast Alley, that would be cool. It'd be nice to stay in the top 100. I think I was like 76 the last time I checked. But I don't really care about that. But because someone emailed me today saying that, that's what made me think about it. So anyway, all right. So this is enough for today. Check back tomorrow. Thank you for staying subscribed and for listening and for the email and the comments. So, boys and girls, until next time, bye.
You've been listening to Archer Radio.